Why has Peter Mandelson not been arrested? In this country, be you ever so high, the law is above you. It is one of the fundamental principles of our Constitution, and it's one of great antiquity. I have this little book published in 1573. It's the second edition of the works of Sir John Fortescue, who was the Chancellor to Henry VI in the 15th century, and wrote this book as a letter of advice to Henry VI's son, the Prince of Wales, setting out that the law of England was royal, that is to say, but determined by the king, but also political, and therefore could not be entirely at the whim of the king. We have this ancient principle. But Peter Mandelson has not been arrested, and this interests me because his house has been raided, and the accusations against him are extraordinarily serious. What has he been accused of? Well, he's been accused of giving information when he was a Secretary of State in contravention of his Privy Councillor's oath to a known paedophile, information that could have been extremely useful to anybody trading in financial markets, which is exactly what Epstein used to do. This leaking of confidential information is of the utmost seriousness, and this is before you get in to all the other allegations that swarm around him, allegations that you would have thought would require a full police investigation and therefore an arrest and questioning under caution. And I wonder why this hasn't happened, when it has, of course, happened to the former Prince Andrew, to Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, because while everybody should be under the law, it shouldn't apply more to the powerful than to the less powerful. It should apply to everybody equally. And you do begin to wonder whether Peter Mandelson, in this case, is actually the more powerful, because he may know things that could be embarrassing to all sorts of people who remain in powerful positions. They were his acolytes, they were his supporters, they took his advice, they governed according to what he had to say. He was influential within Labour Party councils from the late 1980s through until he had to resign in disgrace as ambassador from the United Kingdom, well, from the King, to the United States of America. And yet, he is not arrested. And I think this is most peculiar, and I think the argument for arrest seems to me to be very strong. The law should apply to him in exactly the same way as it applies to the former Prince Andrew. Now, in both these cases, we must remember the fundamental principle that people are innocent until proved guilty. But when there are serious allegations, you expect them to be investigated, and it is reasonable to be asked that these are investigated with proper rigour, and that proper rigour comes from the formal arrest and then potentially release under investigation, what has replaced police bail as a mechanism of continuing with an investigation when people are allowed to go home. The other question that arises in relation to this is the sub judice laws. When I'm broadcasting on GB News, we pay enormous attention to the sub judice rules. It is one of those things broadcasters and newspapers take great care over, receive considerable legal advice around, and err on the side of caution. In some cases, people, in my view, are too cautious and take the sub judice rules further than they actually go. But they limit what can be said from the point of arrest. What are the sub judice rules? They are rules that restrict comment on the details of a case in case they could influence a jury when a trial comes about. It's to try and prevent commentary that if potential jurors read it, could move their minds either for guilt or for innocence. And this has been the situation in this country for a very long time. It is a aim, its aim is the worthy aim of protecting juries from extraneous information on information that doesn't come up in court. And this matters because there are many things that you're not allowed to reveal in court that could be revealed in newspapers. So if somebody has a whole string of former convictions, they would be reportable in newspapers, but you're not allowed to know about them in court. Yet if they were in the newspapers, a juror might read about them and then have his or her judgment coloured by what had been seen outside the court. That's why the rules are there. And they're very strict, as I say, and from the point of arrest, media outlets are very careful. This just hasn't been the case in relation to the former Prince Andrew, that it seems to be a situation where people feel free to comment. Now, I actually think this is a good thing, because I think the sub judice rules are hopelessly out of date. In a world of online communication, of Twitter, of YouTube, which you're kindly watching, you cannot hold back information. You cannot remove from the internet the sort of gossip that people used to have in the pub, or at their kitchen table, or at their dining room table, or within their families. This sort of discussion is going on all the time, and in the modern era, it takes place online, on Twitter, on Snapchat, over YouTube, and to try and control it is as futile as the theory that King Canute tried to hold back the sea. Of course, as viewers of this channel know, that's wrong. He didn't. He was proving that he couldn't hold back the sea. It's always been got the wrong way around. The much maligned King Canute, who, as it happens, was rather a good king of England. You can't hold back modern technology. It is there, and people will use it. And this case, the Andrew case, is showing its pointlessness, because it is what everybody's interested in. And broadcasters and professional people do try to draw a line between general commentary that is allowed and specific commentary on the details of what is alleged that is not allowed. And I, in this broadcast, am being extremely careful to stay on the right side of that line, not to say anything that could potentially influence a jury. I don't have any special information that hasn't already gone into the public domain. But most people online are not professionals who do not have a professional working knowledge of the sub judice rules and are commenting as they see fit. And that seems to me freedom of speech. And that in America, they do it better. They have another way of protecting juries. It's a twofold way. One is the judge gives very clear instructions that they must only consider what they have heard in the courtroom. A very sensible injunction, and having done jury service, I know that jurors understand judges' clear instructions. And the second thing they do is they sequester juries at the end of the case, or sometimes earlier, to make sure that they can't be influenced by the online noise or the extraneous noise that is going on. And this allows them to comment freely on a case. I've been arguing for some time that the sub judice rules need to change. I think that freedom of speech is too important, and that the controls on it are false and don't achieve their intended objective anymore, and that the Andrew case in this instance is therefore helpful, because it's really highlighted the impossibility of holding back the flood. If the judge who hears a case, if a case ever comes, were to go after everybody for contempt of court for breaching the sub judice rules, he would find he had a million people in his courtroom. And that is simply impractical. And I think you would find that on a strict interpretation of the sub judice rules, they have been broken right, left and centre. As I say, I've been very careful not to, but I may be a minority in this particular thing. So the two questions for today. One, why has Peter Mandelson not been arrested? Actually, why is he still on the role of peerage? Why hasn't he been struck from the role of peerage? He's resigned from the House of Lords, but he hasn't been struck from the role of peerage, which could be done by the King on the advice of the government. He could be treated in the same way as Andrew. Be you ever so high, the law is still above you. But this hasn't applied to Peter Mandelson. It's applied, quite rightly, to the former Prince Andrew. That's the first point. And the second point is the sub judice rules no longer work. They need to be changed, and we need to promote freedom of speech so that we can have a free discussion. In the meantime, be a little bit careful in what you say on the comments, because I have a nasty feeling you may breach the sub judice rules down below. And a final thought. I'm doing some onstage work, which you might enjoy, and if you wanted to come along to, You'd be extremely welcome. There's a little message about this coming up. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Jake Rees-Mogg, and having been removed from the green benches, I'm now stepping onto the stage for a rather different kind of engagement. I shall be lifting the velvet curtain on life in Westminster. The intrigue, the peculiarities, the moments one isn't supposed to mention in polite society. You may find it illuminating, you may find it exasperating, you may, I hope, find it entertaining. We will speak of politics, principle, and the occasional parliamentary absurdity, along with the WhatsApp groups, all delivered with candour and, I hope, a measure of wit, at least a half wit. And then the floor is yours, a live question and answer session with no scripts, no prearranged comforts. You may ask, and I hope you will ask, whatever you like, challenge what you like, agree or disagree as robustly as you please. An evening of sharp wit, sharper opinions, and unmistakably British conversation. I do hope you'll join me.